this computer.
Ooh. Got it.
Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we friends.
Are best friends. Best. That's right.
I miss you. I've been stranded on the Cape while my house is being ripped apart.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How's that going?
I don't know. I'm trying to ignore it.
Yeah, I would be too.
Me and messiness.
Yeah.
It's difficult. But it's great to see your face on Zoom.
It's good to see you too, zooming away.
Zooming, baby. Yeah, all right, let's get right to it. We have a long and interesting letter to discuss this week.
Yes, and I will begin. Hello, ladies. Thank you for creating a platform to discuss friendships between women. I love your podcast. Thank you. I've listened to all your episodes with an ear to the wall, meaning carefully. I laughed, cried, and screamed, "Preach it, sisters," throughout every episode. I identify my friendship with Freestyle, not her real name, in your podcasts. I am hip hop, not my real name. We have a friendship of 37 years. From the start, we noticed we have so much in common. Being friends, she would call me her sister to everyone else. Painful experiences with Freestyle started with her being upset that I had a boyfriend when we were really only casually talking. She said, "How can you put a guy over our friendship?" I didn't. I realized she can have admirers and boyfriends. She can have wonderful people and career achievements, but would get angry when I would accuse me of being jealous and envious of her. This laid the foundation of what was to be built upon. We set up our girl codes, but that was not enough. She would misunderstand me, get angry, and stop communicating for prolonged periods of time. This became her MO in the friendship. Throughout the years, I would only listen when she calls. I didn't talk much. She doesn't let you. She didn't hold her tongue with her accusations on the back of misunderstandings. She talks down to me and never apologizes for her part. It's always my fault. Over time, I learned to process my feelings and move on. At 23 years old, we had a conversation that hammered the nail on the coffin. We shared our experiences, situations, and circumstances. Then she told me to grow up, stop complaining, and deal with it. She stopped communicating via calls, letters, and emails. This changed me forever, made me cynical, reserved, and sarcastic. I flipped that pain and anger into a fuel of positivity to deal with life, stay focused, and face my challenges.
Part two. Throughout the gap years, she would contact my sister to find out about me and get my phone number. I moved on. I had my share of successes. 6 years later, coincidentally, she and I became pregnant about the same time. She called me out of the blue. We were happy for each other. Unfortunately for me, due to having an autoimmune disorder, I miscarried 8 weeks later. Mm. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Terrible.
She never called me after the surgery. Later on, she did call to be mean and vile. Based on what her mother said about me, to this day, I do not know what her mother said. Freestyle said, "It's my fault I lost my baby, that I was jealous of her pregnancy and relationship." She never apologized for her part.
Oh,
wow. Huh? After moving up and on, hitting milestones on my own, alone, without being able to share it with my, quote, sister, best friend, quote, she calls out of the blue. This time is different. I see her as a stranger. We have, respectfully, children with autism spectrum disorders. She asked to see me to talk in person. She invited my son and me into her home, beautiful home and family. She presented her new husband to me. Then her mother came. She did apologize for her part in the friendship wedge. I embraced this new facet of my friend's life like I always have in the past. She wanted to show off how successful she became. This attitude did not impress me. My inside instincts yelled, "This is suspicious, girl," but I gave her a chance. This is the year the coffin fell into the ground. She reached out and put us in a hotel. Due to my son taking $2 from her home on our last visit, we are no longer welcome to stay with her. My son and I apologized to her and her husband profusely and repeatedly. In the cabin of her car, she yelled at my son, calling him a thief, a liar, and dumb for not knowing how to compute math. I was livid. I told her to stop. She did. Then she drove us to the entrance of the hotel. My son tripped after opening the car door, and all the gifts she gave us fell, and they scattered on the ground. He hurt his knee and ankle, cried in pain. She never came down from the car to ask or help or see if my son was all right. She was waiting to leave. She had a look like Cruella de Vil at the steering wheel. I was so angry, I slammed her car door. The next day, we checked out and bolted out of NYC. Again, her MO presented itself. She called to apologize to my son, and I place air quotes because in a passive-aggressive manner, she felt justified in behaving like that. My son dismissed her. To make up for her behavior, she recently offered to drive up northeast to spend time with my son and me. Well, the day came. My son and I were ready to welcome her. She was a no-show. She stayed with her friend in Massachusetts the night before and returned to New York City the day we were supposed to meet. Concerned about her whereabouts, I texted her. She ghosted me for 3 days. Then she placed vile posts on Facebook all day for 3 days, trying to assassinate my character, saying I am negative overall and she only has time for positive people. The only inconvenience in our plans was that I was waiting for my son's father to come after work so he could care for our son. I was not going to leave my son with disabilities alone in our home so I could meet her for lunch and drinks. So we come to this point of the journey. I have a flat tire in this friendship and had to park on the corner of one-way drive and dead-end street. I don't want to call her for AAA. I no longer want to engage with her for the sanity and well-being of my son and me. I muted her from my social media apps, cried over the weekend, made an internal decision and script, thanks, Joss, on how to handle her when she reaches out. She did. Blamed me for everything. She said she was disappointed and frustrated with me, that she doesn't know what my situation is. Bullshit, she does. But she is here to be supportive and lend an ear, to please share my thoughts when I'm ready. I sat on that one for a moment. Internally, I put it all together. I replied in a text, acknowledging her thoughts and feelings. I too would like to speak with her, but from my end, I was not ready. What occurred was not ill will or malicious. Ladies, the moral of my experience is forgiveness is not a get out of jail free card. I value and respect quality over quantity, but I have respect for my son and myself to not further submit ourselves to a toxic person whose mirror is so broken like a mosaic that she cannot see a glimpse of her true self. My beat and rhythm goes on. Sincerely, hip hop.
The hell?
Wow. That, you know, I'm sorry it took you so long, hip hop.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. Yep.
This person has been horrible to you since you met her.
37 years, it says.
Yeah.
37 years is this friendship.
Just, you know, so you're well rid of her. But I do want to acknowledge that you played a part in this by welcoming her back again and again.
Agreed.
Don't you think, Joss? Because, you know, friends like that, they're not good friends, but they are interesting. And they give you something to talk about. And, you know, you call another friend and you say, you're not going to believe what she did now. And that's human nature, right? But it also, you just kept opening the door for her to come in and stab you.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm a little shocked that after she was talking so much trash about your son, that you resumed the friendship. Like after that, I would have been so done. I would have been done and finished. You don't talk about my kids like that, right?
Right.
So
yeah, that definitely seemed to be the nail in the coffin that she says. But you know, I think, you know, steer away from people like that. You're so much older and wiser now. Don't make the same mistake again. When you see that red flag, pay attention to it. It means there are sharks in the water.
Yeah, and you've been burnt by her every time. So you know what's going to happen when you go back. So there's no need to try again. There's no need for you to forgive. There's no need for you to follow her on social media. You should be unfollowing her.
Yeah, you should probably block her.
Yeah, I agree.
So that one seemed pretty straightforward, Jess. But we have another one that's sort of similar. And I'm happy to say we have many letters to go through and keep on writing. We love it.
Yes, we do.
So this is about a work situation, but it also has social media involved.
Yes.
So I'll give this one a shot. Hello, I recently discovered your podcast. I have a lot to listen to catch up, but I am so thrilled that I have come across this, as it serves a purpose of almost everything that I have ever encountered with friends in life. Oh, hooray! And just shout out, we do have a book, so yeah. Go ahead and play that. My work career has been severely compromised by COVID. I am so sick of hearing the word COVID, but I know it's here to stay. Girl, we hear you. So in my compromise, I began working a temporary job. I'm a paralegal by training and have been in this career for almost 20 years. I am currently at a temp to hire opportunity. And this one secretary is so mean, but she thinks her tactics are going unnoticed. Well, the other day, a court reporting company sent us cookies. I had three at three different times throughout one day. The cookies were sitting at the ledge of her desk, but they were not given to her specifically. It was a firm gift. The last time I grabbed a cookie, she literally body shamed me, or maybe food shamed me. I have my own issues with weight and I am super stressed, so I eat. We understand that as well. Anyway, as I grabbed the third cookie, she was like, "Dang, you're gonna turn into a cookie." And I said, "Yep, you know I love my sugar." She claims she doesn't like sugar, but eating a cookie may help her sour ass be nicer. I do not fake well. I like this job enough to try to get hired permanently. However, I do not play with rude, mean people. Can you please give me insight on how to rise above? I totally dislike that she has me at her level. I cannot stand that I have allowed myself here, and I go straight into defense mode as opposed to ignoring her. I am not the only one she has a problem with, but I suppose I am fresh meat for her bullying. I'm not sure. Like any other curious person, I went to check her Facebook page. One day it was visible, the next it was not. I would never ask anyone so mean to be my friend on Facebook, but I am greatly disturbed that she took it upon herself to block me. So I asked my sister to check, who was able to find her. So now I know she blocked me. Like, why even go that far? This lady is in her early 50s. Do I pose a threat to her? She is quick to tell on people she doesn't like. She interrupts my training. So I had to make the office manager aware. I am so over acting like I'm in grade school. Please help me get a clue and scale back my behavior to ignore her sour butt. Help. Signed. She didn't sign it. I'm going to say signed, Cookie.
Cookie. Okay.
Go for it, Noss. You're an expert on workplace.
I am, unfortunately. I would say what you need to decide, Cookie, is whether you really want this job, including working with this woman, who will be there if you get this job personally. She's not going anywhere. Or whether you don't want this job because of that reason. And I say that because having a job that affords you a salary and helps you to like live your life and be more confident and comfortable in your life is great. But part of what makes a job really hard is the environment of the job. And this environment sounds super toxic. Now, do you want to work in that kind of environment? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because it doesn't sound like this woman is going anywhere. If you do want to work in that environment, or you need to work in that environment, you need the money, then what you're going to have to do in order to get this job is to be uber extra special, super fragilistic, so professional, totally professional, above board. You did a really great thing here where she was interfering with your training and you went to her manager. Perfect. Perfection. Because what you always want to do is relate her behavior back to interfering with your work, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you've got to be uber professional all the time in order to get this job.
Yeah. I would say also that if she's worked there a while, management knows how she is and they're okay with it. You know, maybe she does her secretary job very well. Mm-hmm. And so they just put up with her. I completely agree with Joss in that being super professional is the only way to exist there and also to put everything in writing. Mm-hmm. So if you say, I've never worked in a law firm, but say you have to ask her for something like, can you FedEx this to the client so they get it tomorrow morning? You don't want to give her the opportunity to screw you up and make you look bad. So you put that in an email to her. And I don't know if you can tell when your emails are read. Sometimes you can on different devices, but you know, you put that in an email and then you ask her in person and you're just so polite all the time. Hello, how are you, sour butt? You know, how was your weekend? I wouldn't even ask how your weekend was. I would just say, hello, how are you? And sit down and do your job.
Mm-hmm. To the best of your ability, I agree with Kristen, put everything in an email, especially if you've had a hallway meeting, as I like to call them. So these are not scheduled meetings, but you see someone in a hallway and you sit and chat about work. If you had some sort of hallway meeting, I would, if I were you, follow up with an email and say something like, just so I'm clear about what we discussed, here is what it was, and get that down in an email. Whether she responds or not is not the issue. The issue is having it in an email, as Kristen says. So you can point to it always. Well, I did email you about this. And don't ever delete anything ever.
Right. Ever. Because you know, you don't want to have to devolve into she said, I said.
Right.
So, you know, if you have to work with her, just I would come in on Monday morning and just be cool and professional. You are Kerry Washington. You are I'm trying to think of another like really together person.
I know.
I tend to watch movies about people who are not together, but you know, you own your job, own your space in the company.
Right. You
know, I'm guessing that you are ahead of her in rank. You're a paralegal. She's a secretary. I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that if it is, it bugs her. Mm-hmm. That you young whippersnappers think you know everything. And you know, here I am in my 50s and still not advancing in life or something. So whatever the case, you know, her blocking you on Facebook before you even friend requested her, it is such a sign of juvenile hostility. Mm-hmm. It's you're so lucky that she blocked you. Mm-hmm. And you can block her. Maybe you can't, but you know, from other forms of social media, she's in your head during the day. You don't need her in your head on your own time.
Yeah. Definitely keep it as professional as possible. Keep it at that level. And as Kristen says, don't even worry about pleasantries. Like, how was your weekend and all about that? Mm-hmm. Just be pleasant at work. This is all you're required is you're required to come in on time. You're required to do the job to the best of your ability, and you're required to be pleasant to your coworkers.
Right.
And that's all you have to do a perfect job. That's it. People think you need so much. You really don't. In my experience, and I've worked for a very long time, the three things I just outlined were the things you need to be a superlative worker. So do those three things, be professional with her. Don't worry about pleasantries with her. Put everything in writing, everything in an email. This is my understanding of our conversation that we just had, and make sure you save all of that stuff. I do believe that if you do that, she will back down because she'll see what you're doing immediately.
Yeah.
She'll see that you're keeping everything on a very transparent level, right? And she won't want her bad behavior getting back to her boss or human resources, which it probably already has. You know, they probably already know.
And, you know, as for the personal comments, again, this is when you need to have that script that Joss always talks about. If she makes a reference to your weight, I think you should have something to say, like, are you implying that I'm too fat to have another cookie? Mm-hmm. Because that is an HR issue, right? Make her say it out loud. You know, if she's body shaming you or cookie shaming you or whatever she's doing, stop, address it, end it. You could say something like, I'm sorry, my size seems to bother you and you need to mention it. Mm-hmm. But I would just call her out on it. Are you fat shaming me?
Yeah, I agree with that. Or something like, I would appreciate it if you didn't comment on my appearance, something like that, because that's all unprofessional. That's the kind of behavior that is not tolerated. So
yeah,
always call it out. Always say it out right. loud.
And, you know, the same thing is true with any kind of discrimination. You stop in your tracks and say, I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Yeah.
And if they say, oh, it's a joke, you know, say, I don't find it funny when people comment about other people's shapes and sizes. Please don't do that again. And then walk out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because you're new, you want to make friends at the company and you want people to like you. The best way for that to happen is to do what Joss said, be good at your job, be mm-hmm. pleasant, punctual, polite. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then as time goes on, you'll see if you do have work friends there, if there are people that you would want to hang out with outside of work. But for now, as the new kid, do not talk about sour ass. Is that her name? Sour, you know.
Sour butt.
Don't talk about her to your boss, you know, unless it interferes with your job.
Yeah.
But don't be caught saying like, well, she's kind of a bitch, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's been there longer than you. She knows the people that you're working with. Beware.
Yes, she can work the system, because I'm sure you are not the first one to find her behavior really annoying, and that people have tried to take it up the chain of command. And if she's still there, that means that it's gotten nowhere, because she knows how to work the system.
But I do think that if you are, you know, professional, polite, punctual, and you avoid her, she's going to find someone else to pick on.
She will. I think she will back down. The more you call her out for behavior that is inappropriate, for saying things that is inappropriate, that is creating a boundary right there. And she knows not to mess with you. I think she'll back down and look for easier prey.
Yeah. Yeah. And if she says like, how was your weekend? You can say, it was fine, thank you. And then you go to your desk.
Boom. Just like that.
Yep. If she says something like, you know, how many brothers and sisters do you have? You can say, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable talking about my family with
you. Yeah. And boom, and you're done.
Stop. Put the period there. That was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got in terms of like dealing with people and communicating clearly, is know when to end the sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
I'm not comfortable talking about that.
We as women, that's an issue for us. We keep going and going. So if someone says, how was your weekend? And you say, fine, we feel compelled. I know I do. We feel, and how was yours, to be polite and those things.
Yeah.
But polite is putting the period at the end of the sentence. That's polite too.
Right. That's, you answered her question politely. Yeah. And she's going to then say like, wow, you know, Cookie is so hard to get to know. She so won't talk to anybody, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about that. You're not there to make friends. You're there to be a paralegal.
Right. And let your work speak for you. If you're doing exemplary work, then the boss won't have anything to say about you.
Yeah.
And you can certainly be, you know, pleasant to everyone else, right? What you're doing is creating a boundary with Sour Butt, because you've recognized that she's problematic.
Yes.
You have to create that boundary.
And she's creating a boundary with you. but it's personal. Mm-hmm. You know, she blocked you from seeing her on Facebook. And who knows why, you know, but she, you know, you don't have to ever mention Facebook. Don't let her know that you looked her up, you know, just sit there and do your job. And, you know, I don't have as much workplace experience as Joss, but I remember coming from a very toxic work environment in New York City and starting up at a new firm in Connecticut. And immediately people started to try to be my friend and, you know, chat with me and stuff. And I thought, like, I'm not here for this. I just, you know, have a job to do. And, you know, there was clearly a, like a girl fight, two girls against one other. The other did her job well. She was a very good designer, graphic designer, and they didn't like her. She's also extremely pretty, you know? So I just sat back and thought, you know, they're telling me about how Joe is. I'm going to wait and see for myself. Because Joe was always very polite with me and all that stuff. Long story short, Joe and I are still friends. Mm-hmm. All these years later, you know, we watched our kids grow up and, you know, I went to her wedding and, you know, so it takes a while to get to know people, especially at work. You just have to be careful that this is not a workplace where that kind of thing is what gets you ahead, because no job is worth that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just figure out, I mean, maybe you could find a different temp to hire type of situation, but what I have found that a job, like I had a job once that was not that great, but the people were fantastic. Like the job was kind of boring, mm-hmm. But the environment of the job meant more to me. It's a job that I was happy to go to in the mornings, even though I was doing like super boring work. So, you know, make that decision if this is going to work for you. This environment with her in it, it's kind of toxic. Are you ready to work there permanently, given that she will be there? I mean, you have to think about these things. It's really important for your own mental health, to be honest
with you. Right now, this interim time before the offer may come is the time for you to see if you can dial her back, mm-hmm. maintain that completely professional and polite relationship with her without anything else happening. And if you can, you think like, I've got it, you know, and now I'm here to do the work and I don't have to think about her. Great. And if she's whispering in your boss's ear, telling her how horrible you are, then, you know, and your boss listens, then that's not the place for you.
Right. Right.
It troubles me that she's still there and, you know, that she's that kind of a person. So that makes me think that she's very secure in her job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. There are those types of people in lots of places like that. And they last forever because they do know how to work the system. And instead of fighting them, people have just left. They've been like, I don't want to deal with it anymore. And they just leave. Right. So it's really up to the manager to manage her, which is why it's important that if she is interfering with the work that you need to do, you let her manager know.
Yeah.
Always put it in writing, have everything in writing. If she is going back to a manager, your manager, and saying things like Cookie is not doing this, she's not doing that, you have everything in writing, but I am doing this. And mm-hmm. your work product speaks for you because you get your work done on time. You meet all your deadlines. Your work is done perfectly, beautifully, and all this like that. So you want to make sure you're doing all of that too.
Yeah.
And again, she will stop bugging you, I think. She'll realize that you are not easy prey and she'll go look elsewhere.
Yeah. Good luck. And let us know how it goes. Gosh, I would love to hear back.
Oh yeah.
One especially. So
oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks for writing. Joss, any embarrassing personal problems to entertain the masses with?
My feet look dreadful. I'm going to have to go to the get a pedicure at some point.
Oh dear. Yeah.
My feet look I can't, talons, I guess that's a good description.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened so fast. This is what I understand. The feet, you get the pedicure, and then almost instantaneously, they're back to their previous state of looking prehistoric. It's, and so something has to be done.
I know. It's, it, you know, the nail polish will stay on forever. We all know that. But you, yeah, it's like you leave the store and then later in the day, you're back to the hooves. I don't know.
So that's where I am. I will probably get a pedicure and spend a whole lot of money for it. I'll let you guys know. Because the last time was so entertaining for so many people.
All right. Okay.